try and round up somebody else? All right. Some of them excited to get out of here, you know. I was watching Elijah up here. He was getting sleepy, and I thought, I'll get him for preaching. I'll knock that young man out. I can get him, I'm telling you. And don't y'all laugh too hard, because every now and then I get a few of y'all, you know. Do. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. I was thinking all during the song service, you know, it seemed like everything we were singing today was about the promises of God, about the heaven that He's prepared for us. And I was thinking as I sat there, and you know, in my heart, I just had a contentment and a peace, because I know that I'm right with God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I think about this a lot. I can remember years ago sitting in a church service under conviction because I wasn't right with God. Amen. I can remember those times, you know, and that's been a long time ago, but I hadn't forgot it. And I thought, I just started praying, sitting up here on the front bench. I thought, if there's anybody here in that condition today, they'll get it right. That'd be the most important thing that could happen here today. Somebody get things right with God, that when we sing about these promises, you can just embrace them. When we talk about the heaven that God's prepared, you know, you can just embrace that. It's just going to be a time we'll rejoice and praise the Lord. And I appreciate everybody coming this way today. A really good number for 4th of July week. This is a great number, isn't it? A great number come out. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you. We're going to go back in the Old Testament this morning, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and a lot of this goes about reminding the children of Israel. They were on their way, and God had made a great promise to them. He had promised them a promised land that was flowing with milk and honey and all the great promises that came. And, you know, as I read through these things, I know that we're grafted in the natural to the unnatural, and I think about the promises that we look forward to. You know, I look forward to heaven. I don't know if anybody else does or not, but I look forward to heaven. Now, I understand that I've got to get from this point where I'm at now to that point there. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in between. But as we go through these scriptures today, I want you to consider, you know, the times that we have to endure hardships or trials or problems in this life. There's wording in this that God gave to these children and said, this is why this has happened. Because a lot of times people want to know, why did this happen? I don't always know the answer, but God knows. So let's start out Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 17, and we'll use one verse right here. It said, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Just the one verse and a lot of stuff in it. Talking about shall not be respecter of persons. You know, that's something that a lot of times I have a problem with. I hope to God that none of y'all do. But there's times that, you know, we do have that. I have it in myself. And we're told not respect persons. We know God's no respecter of person. Now, when it starts going down, it said, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. Here's another thing that we could learn in our church and our Christian lives, that everybody makes a difference. Everybody makes a difference. You know, whether they're this group that went down this door just a few minutes, going down to the youth group down there, or if it's to the oldest person sitting in here, everybody makes a difference. And when he talks about not being afraid of the face of man, you know, if I'd listened to all the things that man had said about me through the years, I'd have quit this business years ago. I guarantee you. You know, I'd have quit years ago. Just give it up. But we have this instruction from God. The face of man is not what we're supposed to fear. It talks about the judgment is of God. And so, you know, as long as we're pleasing to God, that's where we want to be. And then it talks about and the cause that is too hard for you. I want you to look at these words, the cause that is too hard for you. And I think about so many times we try to work these things out ourselves and do it and take care of it ourselves. And he said, the cause that's too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. And I believe this applies with us today in God. There's a lot of causes that I can't fix. There's a lot of causes that I can't overcome. But I always have the advantage. I can take it to God. And is anything too hard for God? The scripture said no. There's nothing too hard for God. And so when we get about, in this one verse, there's so many things instructs us in our Christian life that we get from this point we're in, and we're just going from this point to that point. I've got a point. I'll lay down one of these days, unless the Lord comes, takes me out. And I don't really care which way it goes, do y'all? Huh? Don't really matter. I want to go over a little bit farther in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was giving instructions to the children of Israel as they were traveling. They were headed for a promised land that God had promised. Everybody here, if you're saved by the grace of God and got Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior, you're headed for a promised land. Ours is called heaven. Ours is called heaven, and that's where we're headed. We've started here, and we're going to get to there. Sure enough, we're going to make it, just as these children are going to make it. But God started giving instructions what could make it an easier trip. Y'all know the story about how they left and traveled 40 years in the wilderness and had all these problems and trouble. God wants to save us some of those troubles today. That we have them for an example we can look back to and say, oh, that caused them problems. I'm not going to do that. And we have this example all through the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command you this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now, there's a condition in this. If we're going to do these things, if we're going to live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto us, there's a condition. It said, all the commandments which I command thee this day that you shall observe to do. And so we need to keep in mind this commandment of God, that God's got a plan for our life. It's not always our plan. It's not always what we want, but God's got a plan for our life. And He said if we follow His plan, it will be beneficial to each and every one of us. In verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Now I want you to notice that. To humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And so we start talking about the 40 years in the wilderness and God leading them, and they just weaving and winding and they following the will of God, you know, but they weren't always following the commandments of God. And when He started telling about these things, He said, I led these 40 wheels in the wilderness to humble thee. Now, God likes humbleness, you know, and there's times that He'll lead us in a direction or in a way, and it's not for any benefit except for our own that He's going to humble us. I've learned that through life, that there's some things and situations that I went through that I believe God meant to humble me that I might exalt Him as Almighty God. Got a hard time in life? It may be to humble you a little bit. God likes humbleness. He likes to be humble. In verse 3, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Now, let's look at this first part of the verse. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. You know, you read about this trip across the wilderness, and all these people begin to hunger and had none to eat, and they had to turn and depend on God for everything they had to survive on. They had to have a dependence on God. Now, you talk about being humble. If you were totally dependent on God to supply your meal the rest of this day and tomorrow and next week, it'll humble you down to realize that. Now, let me tell you, you are dependent on God. Somebody said, well, I got a bank account. God can take that away just that quick. Agreed? You know, well, I've got a job. God can take that away that quick. Or He can put you to the shape unhealthy that you can't go do it. And when I thought about the humbleness of these people crossing the wilderness, they're going out every morning depending on God to send this manna. And now that's a humble people. I bet they didn't talk too hard about God when he's going out to get their breakfast and their dinner and their supper that morning. And God supplying. God supplied everything we've got. You'd have to give Him credit for it. You think, well, I was smart. He gave you the brains. You think, well, I was healthy. He gave you the health. I was strong. He gave you the strength. Ability. He gave you the ability. But it starts in verse 3, and it said, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so he gives an illustration about living by bread alone. There's a lot more things to life than bread. And that's what God wanted them to understand. He can supply the manna. He can supply the bread. But he wants us to pay attention to the word that he gives us. In verse 4, this is an amazing thing. It said, thy raiment wax not old upon thee. Anybody here got clothes? Well, some of us got clothes 40 years old. I guess they have. They've hung in the closet. But if you wore them every day out through the wilderness, I don't know what they'd look like. Do you? I've got some suits that's been shaving for 40 years, you know. But anyway, I got thinking about thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now you're talking about 40 straight years that they're walking every day. They're traveling toward the promised land through the wilderness. It wasn't an easy way. It was hard. There wasn't a highway going through. They were walking through the wilderness. And I got thinking about how long would our clothes and how long would our shoes and how long would we hold up walking every day. But God did this feat that they might know that he's God. That he's God. And that's just an amazing thing to me to think about all these clothes. He said it didn't wax old. They was as good the day they finished as the day they started. That's kind of like salvation, isn't it? It's good the day you started and the day you finished. Same thing. It said, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that a man, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Some of you better say, well, I'm glad he's talking to Israel. No, he's talking to all of us. We're grafted in. We're still in this. And it talks about a father chasing his son. And, you know, you talk about for correction. It's not because they're mad. I don't believe fathers don't chasten their son because they're mad, because they're upset. They do it for correction and for their benefit. And that's the way God does. Number 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. There's chastisement when you step out of the way of God. Everybody understand that? There's chastisement when you step out of the way of God. A lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, that didn't happen to me. It will. Just continue and see what happens. I've been there, experienced that. You know, and it wasn't nothing but God loved me enough to correct me and turn me from an ungodly, evil way back to where I should be as a child of God. And he'll do that. It said, for the love thy, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring up out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, and it starts describing this land. All this description I find of this land is nothing like heaven. Heaven's better than this. Heaven's going to be better than these things. These children had a promise of this promised land. We have a promise of heaven that's greater than these. In verse 9 it said, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scareness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hill thou mayest dig brass. And all these descriptions that you can do and all the best you can look at this promised land, it's not as good as heaven. They were talking about digging brass out of the hills. What's that? That's work. Guess how much work's going to go on in heaven? Not much work, but a lot of worship. That'll be our job, to worship and praise God. It said, when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. And beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Notice what he's saying. He said, when you've done all these things and you're eating, you're full, and you've built goodly houses and dwelt therein, it don't want you to change or get away from the Lord. Remember who blessed you with these things that you have. I've saw a lot of this happen. It seems like when people get to a certain point, they say they don't need God anymore. I don't think that day ever comes for a Christian. You'll always need God and need his help. Verse 13, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He just reminds us, don't forget who got you here. Don't forget who got you to this point in life. And there's some of us, you know, that's getting on up in age. I told my wife, I've got a birthday coming up, and think about getting me one of them step-in bathtubs and a hover round. Well, I wasn't talking about you, Ray, it's talking about me. We all laugh about that, but you know that day may come, mightn't it? But I thought about when these people got all that God had blessed them with, then they forgot about God. They forgot to worship and praise God. All the times God's helped us through situations. I'm sure if I'd take time and listen to everybody here has been through a situation in life that if God hadn't helped, you wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have got through it. I mean, it's just that fact, Phil, that we know that God's help and God's hand's been in these things. You know, we saw the day that we had this problem, that problem. And I can't describe all the troubles and problems that come, but I can describe the God that helps you through it, loving God. Loving God. He brought these children through a lot of stuff, drought, scorpions, fiery serpents, brought them through the Red Sea, all these things he brought them through. And I think, you know, what a God that can bring this many people through all those things. And then I thought, that's the same God that's brought me some of the trials and tribulations in my life. You think, well, we didn't have to go across the Red Sea. I've had some pretty good barriers in life, and I'm sure you have too. You say, we didn't have to face the fiery serpents. I've saw a lot of things that could have killed me that God prevented, and I'm sure you have too. When we go through this week, and you know, we're celebrating freedom. We're celebrating independence. And that's talking about that we're a nation that can govern itself. Whether it's all right or not, I'm not getting into that, but we still have the ability to govern ourselves and make the right choices. I want you to think about the freedom God gave you through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you can govern yourself and have your freedom from sin, from death, from hell, all these things. You're free because of Jesus Christ in your life today. Amen. Let's have a verse of song. We'll close service out. They're coming up. I tell you what, you don't have to wait. Like I said earlier, if there's somebody here and you don't know Jesus, you're not complete. It takes Jesus. I was sitting here looking at this on the way up, and this pencil, I don't know if any of y'all saw that or not, but you see it's got an eraser on both ends. And it says very plain, it says, without Jesus, it's like this pencil, there's no point. There's just no point. That's what it takes for us, Jesus. Jesus. I'd need 1-3 erasers to erase all my mistakes. Just no point. If you need to get things right with God today, why don't you come up? I'd love to pray with somebody this morning. I told you we had 5 people, young people, saved during the month of June. I'd love to start out July this morning. July the 1st. You can tell everybody, this is the day I got right with God. This is the day I got that promise of heaven that'll never go away. It's going to be better than the promised land. Amen. Much better. Y'all stand to your feet. God's leading you to come down this way. Come on down. Or if you don't want to walk down here, you wave your hand, I'll come back there. I'd be glad to come to you. Somebody need to get things right with the Lord this morning? Hold on before you sing. Good to have Annette here with us this morning. Hadn't got to come in a while. She's under the care and will of God. Amen. Good to have Lois here. 2 weeks ago, had a stroke, major stroke. Amen. 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 Now, it was 2 weeks ago when I visited her. She'd laid paralyzed in the hospital. And we prayed. And I believe she increased and got better that day because God touched her that day. No, get out of the pew and walk up here and walk back. You just walk up here and walk back. She's carrying a cane, but she ain't using it. Praise the Lord. This is just praise to God. She can do it, you see. Now, that's the power of God. That's what He can do. Man, so you got a need and a cause, don't be afraid to call on your friends and people to pray.
And Brother, can I also say this? It comes upon my heart. You know, one time I wanted to go to church and I had this car, it would not start. And I remember this little elderly lady at this church, she said, "Oh God, you know how I love my coffee." She said, "But Lord, you know I got no money left. I'm on a fixed income." She said, "But God, I know you can fix that coffee pot for me, Lord." And so God can more than fix people.
Amen.
He can fix anything. You know, He's a fix it all.
Amen.
And you know, so when I wanted to go to church that night, I tried to crank that car, it wouldn't start. Third time I tried to crank it, it wouldn't start. And I said, "Satan, get behind me, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you." Fourth time, fired up, and here I went to church.
Amen.
Don't
praise the Lord.
You can't do something. If you can't do it, it's because you didn't ask God to help you with it.
But you heard the other part. Four times. She didn't give up on one or two. Walk back. Show me and walk. Praise the Lord. Man. That's just power of God demonstrated. Aneurysm, stroke, paralyzed on the left side. 2 weeks ago. Amen. God's real. Man, touch me. I'm seeing hands go up all over the house. We get that party, touch me. If God's touched you and helped you in some way, do something. When we sing that, just raise your hand and give Him praise. It'll be praise to God. It won't be a show for people. Just say, "God, I praise you for all you've done for me." One more verse, Chris. Amen.